I'd like to discuss with you for today a very fundamental concept in Torah, and especially in Torah Shebaal Peh, Chazal, and that is the concept of Hakaras HaTov, loosely translated as gratitude. We'll see that Chazal had a totally different understanding of Hakaras HaTov that goes way beyond gratitude. And our goal is twofold. Number one, to analyze the centrality, the fundamental significance of Hakaras HaTov. Number two, to see exactly what the nature of Hakaras HaTov is. Is it just a Midah Tova? Does it have halachic implications? Does it go beyond just payment, so to speak, a payback to someone who did you good? Is it meaningful in and of itself? Now, the statements of Chazal regarding Hakaras HaTov are almost boundless. And we'll see that there is a chiyuv of Hakaras HaTov not just vis-a-vis human beings that have done you well, that have benefited you, but even vis-a-vis inanimate objects and animals. Now, many of the statements of Chazal regarding Hakaras HaTov are focused on Mitzrayim, the Makos of Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim. For example, Rashi points out in Parshas Va'era, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Tes, that Moshe, when he's commanded on the first Makkah to transform the waters of the Nile into Dam, Emor al Aaron kach matcha, there's no command to Moshe Rabbeinu to hit the water, but rather Aaron is going to be the agent. V'idam b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Rashi says, why is it Emor al Aaron? Why is Aaron the agent and not Moshe himself? L'fi shehegin ha-yor al Moshe. That the Nile protected Moshe k'shenishlach l'socho. And the Tanchuma there in Parshas Va'era embellishes it even further. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Hamayim Sheshamrucha B'Shasha Ushlachta Li'or. The Mayim protected you when you were sent in that small teva floating up the river. Therefore you will not hit the Yar and convert the waters into Dam. Furthermore, says the Tanchuma, Afar Shehegin Olecha K'Shaharakta Samitzri Enodini Sheyilku Al Yodecha L'Ficha Loku Al Yidei Aaron. Not only is Makas Dam implemented by the agency of Aaron, rather Moshe, but even Sfardei Kinim, whatever requires hitting the afar of the ground, because the ground protected Moshe Rabbeinu. The Medrash in Shmos Rabbah, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Makol Hiska Moshe V'Amal HaKadosh Baruch HaRei U'Omer Mi Hashem V'Eino Rotzeh L'Shalcho. Omar Lo, after Paro in the initial encounter with Moshe refuses to let the people go, Heichan Mitzrayim Shosim, God says, from where, what's the source of water for the Mitzrayim? And the answer is Minilus, from the Nile. Omalo hafocho soladam. According to this particular version in Medrash Rabbah, Hashem told Moshe to convert the waters of the Nile into dam. Omalo, Moshe responds, Eini yochel lahofcha, I can't fulfill this mission. Wow, that's chutzpah for Moshe Rabbeinu to say that to Ribono Shalom. Yesh adam shosim in a be'er u'mashlech evin l'socho. Can you drink out of a well and then throw a stone into that well? Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees, Yelech Aaron v'yavchenu holech Aaron v'yikov v'nefach l'dam. So the Mayim protected Moshe. It's like the well from which you draw water. You don't throw a stone into the well. You don't look a gift horse in the mouth. There's got to be some sense of commitment to Hakara Satov. Yesh Adam Sheshosim in Abeeru Mashlech Emin L'Socha. And the Gemara in Perek HaChovel reiterates this concept, formulating in slightly different words, but it's the same idea. Bira deshasis minei lo tishti bekola. You don't take a stick and hit the waters of the bear when you drank from that bear. Rashi explains, Dabra nitzach l'cha pamachas shuv lo tivazeyu. You needed it, you relied on it, never humiliate it. So we know that the waters and the afar, the ground, Hakar Satov. Moshe cannot implement these makos personally. What about animals? We'll take a look in the Mechilta in Parshas Mishpatim on the Pasuk, Ad She Kodesh Tiyun Liu, Basa Basada Trefalo Sochelu, Lakel Tashlichro. So, what do you do with your Nevela, your Trefa? You feed it to a dog? Says Rashi, because we owe a debt of gratitude to the canine, to the dogs. Why? Because when Klal Yisrael go out of Mitzrayim, the dogs are silent instead of making a big raucous as they naturally would do and bark out loud. Give schar to the animals. Express and implement your Hakara Satov towards the animals. We find this again in Masechta Bechoros with regard to the mitzvah of pigeon, Petach Hamor, and the Gemara asks the question, why is it that the Hamor of all animals is singled out for this great mitzvah? And the Gemara says, Shesiu Yisrael, they helped the people of Israel, B'shas Yitzias Mitzrayim. For every single Jew, there were 90 chamorim that would carry the booty of Mitzrayim, the Kesef Mitzrayim, the Zav of Mitzrayim, and there's Hakar Satov towards the chamorim. But we see clearly, in all these stages of Chazal, the underlying principle of Hakar Satov, but we want to understand, I understand Hakar Satov to a live person, but to an inanimate object or to an animal, what difference does it make if we recognize the gift that they bestowed and the benefit we got from them? I understand that if you're not Makir Tov to a person who did you good, That's a pagia, that's insulting the person himself. But what pagia would there be towards Bali Chaim, towards animals, or towards inanimate objects like the earth or the water, such that there's an insult here and I have to have, I'm obligated on Hakar Satov? And again, as we asked earlier, why all the emphasis on Yetzias Mitzrayim? All these statements seem to manifest Yetzias Mitzrayim. Let's go on with a, shall I say, exaggerated or revolutionary statement in the Medrash regarding the original encounter at the Sneh between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'atol l'cha v'eshlechecha el paro. Hashem says to Moshe, now I will send you to Paro. Omolo ribon olam eini yochel, I can't go to Paro. Mipnei shekiblani yisro, posach li beso, vani imo kiben. Now it's unclear in this medrash, which I don't know if we'll get to today, but the relationship between Yisro and Paro, But in any event, Moshe expresses the sentiment that he owes Yisro a great debt of Hakaras HaTov because Yisro took him into his house, treated him like a son. But listen to the language of the Medrash. Umishu poseach pischo lechavero nafsho chayavlo. Somebody opens his door for you, you owe him your very nefesh. So in one of the famous Sichot Musar, the Musar Shmuzim of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, he refers to another parsha in the Torah, the Yalkut on that parsha, and that is in Bamidbar Perek Lamed Aleph, the mitzvah of Melchemes Midyan, Nekom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Meisa Midyanim. God commands Moshe to go out and avenge Midyan for the whole episode following Bilam, in which the Bnos Midyan enticed Bnei Yisrael, and as a result it was a tremendous magefa, loss of life. And then, after Nekom Nikbas Bnei Yisrael, the pasuk testifies, Vayishlacho Sam Moshe Ves Pinchas Ben Alos HaKoyin Letzava. Pinchas is the one who's going to lead the battle against Midyan. And why is that so? HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe. And the implication of Nekom Nikbas Bnei Yisrael is that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are obligated to be Atzmecha, to be Nokev. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu got the tzivui and was mandated and commanded to be Nokev Bnei Yisrael from Midyan, and yet he pushes off this mitzvah and he appoints Pinchas as his representative, so to speak, as the leader of the military campaign against Midyan? How could he do such a thing if he's commanded to that mitzvah? And the answer is, says the Medrash, because Moshe Rabbeinu owed a debt of gratitude, Hakaras HaTov, to Midyan. Because it was in Midyan that Yisro hosted Moshe Rabbeinu for a long period of time, etc. Imagine Hakaras HaTov for an entire nation because of the actions of one family, of one member of that community, of one member of that nation. But Reb Chaim Shulevitz, in his inimitable style, typically, yes, the question, how could Moshe Rabbeinu, based on his Hakaras HaTov, reject the mandate of God? The commander-in-chief says, Nekom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Meisa Midyanim, and Moshe Rabbeinu sends Pinchas. How could it be? And Reb Chaim says he learned this from the Makos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe to appoint Aaron for the first three Makos Dam Tzfardei Kinah because of Hakaras HaTov. As Rashi says, Lefi Shehegin HaYor Al Moshe, etc. So if Moshe Rabbeinu cannot hit the water and transform it to Dam, etc., then it must be that Hakaras HaTov is a critical element in deciding the scope and the nature of a mandate and how to fulfill that mandate. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood that when Hashem says Nekom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael, it didn't mean that he himself personally would have to do this, but rather that he would appoint a shliach to make sure that the Nekama would be taken, would take place and would be materialized through the agency of Pinchas in this case. Just like in the case of the Makos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Moshe has to find a shliach. And until he finds a shliach, he himself, Moshe, cannot mete out these things to the subject of Hakaras HaTov. They call Od Shelo Natal Rishus Mimisha Pasach Lo Pesach Beso. Moshe Rabbeinu had to get the license, the permission from Yisro, who opened up his house before he could be Nokem Nikmas Bnei Yisrael, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu has every right to reinterpret the pasuk Nekom Nikmas as meaning to guarantee that the Nekoma is meted out, that the battle is waged against Midyan. But it doesn't mean that he himself personally has to implement that battle. And here, in this context, we would like to quote the insight of the Chassam Sofer, which will further embellish this principle that we saw in Chazal, HaPoseach Pesach Lechaveru Nafsho Chayevlo, that the Chiyuv HaKaras HaTov will prevent a person, inhibit a person from bringing any punishment or any nezek, any damage or tsar or suffering to the person who gave him good, who did benefit for him. And the Sam Sofer learns this from a pasuk of Chamushim Olu Bnei Yisrael Me'etz Mitzrayim. Rashi has one interpretation that Chamushim means Mizuyanim, that the people of Israel were indeed equipped with weapons. And the question that the Sam Sofer addresses is that why would Bnei Yisrael at the Yamsa so afraid of Mitzrayim? They had the weapons. Apparently they knew how to defend themselves. They could have waged war against Mitzrayim. Instead, they were called upon to have reliance upon Hashem, that He would destroy Mitzrayim through the ness of Kriyas Yamsuf. And the Chasam Sofer says that it's impossible for Bnei Yisrael to wage war against Mitzrayim because of Hakaras HaTov. It had to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu who would wage this war. He would step in with divine providence, spectacular miracles, split the Yamsuf, and then destroy the Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk of Chamushim Olu Bnei Yisrael is teaching us that despite the fact that Bnei Yisrael had the wherewithal to fight and battle against Mitzrayim, Chamushim means Mizuyonim, as Rashi says, they did not do so, and Hashem said, Hakaras HaTov. And the Chasam Sofer quotes the Pasuk in Dvarim, Perkav Gimel, Lo Tesayev Mitzri, Ki Gera Yisa Biarzo. Imagine the Mitzrim who subjugated the Jewish people, humiliated them, enslaved them, and even destroyed their lives. And yet they hosted Bnei Yisrael. We owe them Hakaras HaTov for that. And therefore we're not going to raise a battle against the Mitzrim. We'll leave that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'll find a way of protecting Bnei Yisrael. And the Ksav Sofer continues the line of reasoning of his father, the Ksav Sofer, and he says that with regard to Kriyas Yamsuf, we find that Chazal connect Kriyas Yamsuf to Yosef HaTzadik. Hayom Ra'av Hayano, Somar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yonus Mipnei Anes. The Yam Suf will run away, will split because of a great miracle. And what's Vayonos? The Pasuk Vayonos alludes to the episode of Eishes Potiphar, Vayazov, Begadov, Biyodov, Vayonos, Vayotzachutz, again Vayonos. Why was it necessary to have Kriyas Yam Suf, says the Ksav Sofer, because of the same reason of Vayazov, Bigdo, Biyodov, Vayonas, Vayetze, Achutza, that Yosef, instead of pulling the garment out of the hands of Eishes Potiphar, battling as it were with her, a tug of war, in order to spare himself the humiliation of walking out without his clothes, and Yosef was inhibited and refused to grab the beged back from her hands, and he certainly had the power to do so, he was strong enough to do so, lo lokachas habegad. And why? Because he had Hakaras HaTov. Imagine Hakaras HaTov to Eishes Potiphar, who caused him so much anguish. But nevertheless, she and her husband had hosted Yosef, and he served as the second in command with such great respect, and that was the Hakaras HaTov. And for that Hakaras HaTov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bnei Yisrael will not fight the battle against Mitzrayim, but rather God says, leave it to me. Rely on me, I will take care of the Mitzrayim. I don't want you to violate your obligation of Hakaras HaTov. And the Ksav Sofer goes as far as saying, based on the Gemara at the end of Masechta Ksuvos, the Shvuos that Ishbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael shall yimudu biyumos, that Bnei Yisrael should not rise up against the nations of the world. And why? Because of Hakaras HaTov. What Hakaras HaTov, Rabosei, do we have to the Goyim who persecuted us? Just 2 days ago, I was in Bratislava, otherwise known in Chazal as Prešburg. Today is part of Slovakia, where the Czech Republic separated from Slovakia. And at one point it was part of Hungary. And Prešburg, during the Holocaust, suffered untold destruction. And this is so typical of all of history. By the way, if you're ever in Bratislava to visit the kever of the Chasam Sofer, please note that it's a 10-minute walk up the mountain to another part of the cemetery where the Ksav Sofer is buried and the grandson of the Ksav Sofer, the Shevet Sofer, is buried. Many other great tzaddikim are buried in that cemetery. It was one of the largest cemeteries in Europe in its time. Now, as I asked the question earlier, is there any indication whatsoever that this principle of Hakaras HaTov is so central, it could have an impact on interpreting the law? And let us mention here something that was implicit in the words of Reb Chaim Shulevitz, and is even clearer in the words of the great Reb Simcha Zissel Broida of Chevron Yeshiva. He says, "Advar muflaim gam im haya Moshe Rabbeinu im haya lo tam mutzdak madua lo nakam biatzmos nikmas Hashem b'mimijon." The Shalach has Pinchas Mkomo, Ulam Adayin Kosha, Hech Eiz, Listos Mitzivu Hashem HaMafurish Nekom. Shepirusha HaPoshet Sheyinkom Biatzmo, Ela Nilmad Mikan, says Rav Simcha Zissel, Shem Moshe Rabbeinu, Begodel Tor Nafsho, Bemidas HaKoros HaTov, Hevin Lolo, Kol Sofek, Kipirush HaTzivu Nekom, in Yano Al Yidei Shaliyah, that Nekom doesn't mean he himself personally before the Atzmo, but through a Shaliyah. The impact of Hakaras HaTov on interpreting the mandate of God, the law of God, is phenomenal. To what extent are we obligated in Hakaras HaTov? HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe to Nekom Nikvas Midjan, but no, it cannot be that he himself. We have to reinterpret the command. It's got to be through a Shaliyah. The Rashba goes a step further in his Chidushim on Masech Gittin on Daf Lamed Chesam in Beis. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel called Mashachar Avdo over B'yesek Shenem L'yolam B'hem Ta'avodu Meisvei Maisa B'Rabbi L'yesek Shenichlas B'Beis HaKnes L'Motz HaSorah V'Shichar Avdo V'Shlima HaSorah Mitzvah Shaini. So the Rashba comments that there were Gedolei Yisrael, we saw it here in the Maisa of Rabbi Lazar, but maybe there were Rabbi Eliezer, there may be other cases, that were Meshachar their Avodim, if this is a violation of the essay of Lola Be'em Tavodu, how do we justify this? And he says that if the Eved went beyond, above and beyond his call of duty, and he was Gomel Chesed to the Adon, then if the Adon, recognizing his Hakaras HaTov, his debt of gratitude, would be Meshachar the Eved, that would not be a violation. That's not a Shichrur gratis, but rather that's payment. He says, Harei hu kemochro lo. It's as if he's paying for the Eved. It's an actual sale in which he's paying up the Eved. That's not Matona. That's paying for Chesed. That's Hakaras HaTov. And in a sefer called Shirei Torah LeRofim for doctors, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita, one of the contemporaries, addresses a number of different scenarios in pure halachic contemporary issues, and he responds and he answers these questions one after the other based on Hakaras HaTov, the halachic significance of Hakaras HaTov. But we promise to come up with an answer as to why so many myriads of Chazal surround Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the answer seems to lie in the commentaries of the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechai on the pasuk Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeicha Meretz Mitzrayim Beis Avadim. And the Ramban says Yetzias Mitzrayim Chayeves Avdus LaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, and you are subjugated to me, you owe me a sovereign rulership. And why? Because I took you out of Mitzrayim, says the Ramban, Yetzias Mitzrayim Mechayeves Avdus LaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a substitute, one Avdus to Paro for another Avdus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Rabban, this is all based on Hakadosh Baruch Hu Tov. Hakadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Beis Avodim, out of Sheba to Paro, and therefore we are Meshubadim, we are Avodim to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The essence of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is inherent in Yetzias Mitzrayim via the principle of Hakadosh Baruch Hu Tov. And Rabbeinu Bechai says it's somewhat similar. And he says that what underlies the mitzvah Torah is Hakadosh Baruch Hu Tov, that we have to the Borei Olam. He created us, he took us out of Mitzrayim, he brought us to Eretz Yisrael. We owe him the Taryag Mitzvahs as a debt of gratitude. And the Mashkiach of Mir back in Litta, Rabbeinu Yerucham Levovitz, writes that in Yitzias Mitzrayim Ukabolas O Malchus Shamayim Shu Inyan Lios Lo Alavodim Shekevet Shemakirim Tovo V'chazdo Abilti Gvul. When we recognize and appreciate his endless bestowal of gifts and chesed upon us, Tachlis who Sholit V'adon HaKol V'zem HaChayev Shetetzim Yize Avdus Tova. We are Mishubadim to the one who granted us all that Tova. God is the creator of the world. He created us. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He based Avodim. That's Machayvos to be his Avodim. And so there's a very intense, profound connection between the obligation of Hakadosh Baruch Hu to the Borei and the Hakadosh Baruch Hu to Bnei Adam, to human beings. The Rabbeinu Bechai quotes a Medrash that call a kofer b'tovosu shel chavero sofar sheyichfar b'tovosu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our Hakadosh Baruch Hu is not just to express and repay those who've done for us. That wouldn't apply to inanimate objects and to animals, but rather this is training. This is a midah which is meaningful unto itself, and ultimately underlies, it's the key that underlies Avdus HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. That's how great Hakadosh Baruch Hu is, how significant it is. We have many, many proofs that a person who is not Makir Tov, he's an ingrate, he's Pogem B'Nafsho U'Mashchisa. And this you'll find in various Bali Musar, whether it's Reb Simcha Zissel Breuder that we mentioned earlier, whether it's Rav Dessler. The Hakadosh Baruch Hu is a mila for the Nefesh HaAdam, and without it, if a person is Kofui B'Tova, then he's Pogem B'Nafsho. So this is an end unto itself. Now we mentioned earlier that Hakadosh Baruch Hu has halachic implications. Let's just mention a few that are ruled and addressed by Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein in his Shiuri Torah LeRofim. Number one, if the Rofe agrees to operate on a client, on a patient, gratis, without charging him, obviously that's Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You owe a tremendous debt of gratitude, because the Rofe could have charged thousands and tens of thousands perhaps for a very delicate surgery. But what happened at the end of the day? The surgeon Hisrashel V'Goram L'Nechus, unfortunately didn't follow standard surgical procedure, and as a result of his Hisrashlus, of his negligence, he caused terrible things. And the question is, does the patient owe Hakadosh Baruch Hu to the Rofe who agreed to take nothing, to waive payment for that surgery? And Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says that although technically there is no chiyuv, but yet it is a wonderful midah of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, even if, let's say, the patient has rights legally to sue the Rofe for the nezek that he caused through his rashlanut, if he decides to waive those rights, he is simply manifesting on the most ideal, pious level, the midah of Hakaras HaTov. Two similar questions addressed by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in the same context. Number one, a chole who is operated on by some surgeon, and as a result of that surgery, this chole came back to himself, he was healed. And again, obviously, he owes a tremendous debt of gratitude to the Rofe, the physician who was the agent of God to bring about his healing. Would this patient testify in another case, another court case, in which that Rofe is on trial, he's being accused of some sort of hisrashlus, of negligence? So we have here, in a certain sense, a tug of war between two principles. On the one hand, for the sake of truth, this former patient of this physician has knowledge that should be brought in front of the courts to testify against this Rofe. But on the other hand, he, the patient, who's called upon for this testimony, owes a tremendous debt of gratitude to the Rofe. And the final conclusion, again, there's a long piece here in Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, if we get a chance, maybe we'll go through it, is that he should not testify, he should not be mazik this Rofe by testifying against him in the court, since he benefited from this Rofe who healed him, and he owes him a debt of gratitude. In a third scenario, Rav Zilberstein addresses the case of a Rofe, a Jewish Orthodox physician who took his medical training at a certain hospital. And the question is, should this Rofe recommend to his clients that they choose that hospital where he received his medical training? In other words, there are many hospitals. And Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein says, you know what? The Rofe should encourage Cholim to enter into that hospital, paying the fees and the bills and so forth, because that's the hospital in which this Rofe was trained. The Rofe, the physician, owes a debt of gratitude to that hospital where he was trained. We see clearly how far Hakaras HaTov takes us, even in a halachic context, as far as an absolute chiyuv is concerned. There's a fascinating paragraph here in Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein that I wanted to call to your attention, in which he quotes the Radak in Sefer Yoshua. The Radak says that the Meraglim who came to check out the score in Yericho and were taken in by Rochav HaZona, who revealed to the Meraglim whatever they had to know about the fear in the hearts of the occupiers of Yericho, the Meraglim had to live up to their commitment to save her at all costs. Says the Radak, that's Hakaras HaTov. And Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein points out the obvious. Hakaras HaTov extends even to a non-Jew, because at this point in her life, Rachav had not yet undergone conversion. She was a Goyita. She was a member of the Shiva Amamim, about which the Torah says, Lo Sechai Kol Neshama. Only later on she was Misgayer. At that point, she was simply a rank and file member of the Shiva Amamim. And yet, the Meraglim had an absolute commitment to her based on Hakaras HaTov. That's the Radak. There's the Targum Yonason that addresses the case of Yosef HaTzadik, who paid back with Tova to the Komrim Shel Mitzrayim, the priests of Mitzrayim. And that was a reflection of Hakaras HaTov to the Komrim who had saved his life. Again, that's a parasha unto itself. If we have time, we'll research and investigate that. Another few points that we want to make. There's a discussion here about the permissibility of donating one's kidney for the benefit, in this case, of a non-Jewish physician to whom he owes a great debt of gratitude. Or, for example, hakaras hatov to a guy who works for you on Shabbos. You know, he's your Shabbos guy. Then we have a question about returning money to a guy who made a mistake, and you're holding on to his money based on his mistake, which normally we say tos akum is mutar, but here for hakaras hatov, to give him back the money as an expression of gratitude. Another issue addressed here in Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein is it permissible to sell products to goyim who are friends with the Jews if the recommendation to sell these products comes from the church, meaning that this will help them in their Catholic religion? But the answer is that if you're selling materials and merchandise to goyim, then even though that came through a recommendation of the church, nevertheless, as a result, you have hakaras hatov. Now, for the next few minutes that we have till the end of the shiur, what I'd like to do is address a series of stories. Do you like stories? We all like stories. There's a book called O.L. Moshe from Rabbi Moshe Yosef Scheinemann. This O.L. Moshe book is chock full of stories about the Gedolei Yisrael, and there's a section here in Parshas Ki Tovo on Hakaras HaTov. We have some amazing stories about the Gedolim and how they understood and implemented Hakaras HaTov. We have a story about Rabbi Aaron Lev Steinemann. We have a story about Rabbi Aaron Kotler. A story about Rabbi Yisrael Gustman. A story about Rabbi Yosef Shalom El Yoshiv. A story about Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. A story about the Altar of Slabodka, and finally a story about Rabbi Zalman Meltz, the Rosh Yeshiva of Eitz Chaim Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So let's go one by one. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu castigates Adam HaRishon, as Rashi interprets the Pasuk, for being a Kofui Tova. When Hashem confronts Adam HaRishon regarding his sin, Adam responds, "Vayomer Adam HaIsh Asher Nasata Imodi, you gave me this woman. Vehi Nasna Li Min HaEitz VaOchal." So Rashi says, "Kan Kofar B'Tova." So the students ask Rav Aaron Lev Steinemann, "How could it be that this mitzvah of Hakaras HaTov could be the basis for God's claim against Adam HaRishon? Adam HaRishon is a Ben Noach, he's not a Jew, he's not obligated in all the mitzvahs of Torah, he doesn't have a mitzvah of Kibbutz Av, he doesn't have a mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shetzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. He has seven mitzvahs, and Hakaras HaTov, last time we looked, is not on the list. So why is Adam HaRishon found guilty because of his absence of Hakaras HaTov?" Said Rav Aaron Lev, "You're looking at it from the perspective of a mitzvah, and for sure this is not one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. But we're not talking about a mitzvah here. Hakaras HaTov hazu ain't a mitzvah, elezeu kol ha'adam." I think he's paraphrasing a pasuk in Kohelet, "Zeh kol ha'adam." And we're talking about a mensch, we're talking about an adam, you're talking about defining a human being. Hakaras HaTov reflects the essence of a person. We don't need a mitzvah for that. And it applies to non-Jews as well. This is an obligation for which other Arishan is going to be castigated because he violates this obligation by saying, Ha'ish asher nasati imad. The second story is Rav Aaron Kotler. Rav Aaron Kotler tells his Talmidim, a Maisa Shahai with the Gaon. The Gaon was praving Golus. He went out into Golus for a Musar experience. And in one of his trips, he felt ill. And a certain family took care of him, they tended him, they brought him back to health. And the Gaon gave them a bracha, that they would be wealthy. This is the story that Rabbi Aaron Kotler relates to his Talmid. So the Talmidim rise up and they say, wait a minute. We know that the Gaon would not give brachos. It was against his religion to give brachos. Just understand why the Gaon, as opposed to the Hasidic Rebbes, would not give brachos. This was a hashkafic issue of the Gaon. The Gaon knew that there's a principle called Tzadik Gozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, and he didn't want to be Matriach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw fit to bestow goodness and wealth upon an individual, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's calculus cheshbin. But to force the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Matriach, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bestow wealth on someone because of the power of bracha that's invested in the gra, that he didn't want to utilize that power. So how is it that in this particular circumstance, the way the story was related by Rav Aaron Kotler, the Gaon in fact delivered a bracha to these people, this family that took him in, and they became Ashirim? Wasn't he worried about being Matriach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Said Rav Aaron Kotler, HaKoras HaTov Shaini. HaKoras HaTov is different. It plays by its own rules. And in the balance between A, being Matriach HaKadosh Baruch Hu by giving this bracha, and B, fulfilling the obligation of HaKoras HaTov, the latter takes precedence, and HaKoras HaTov is Mechayev that you give a person a bracha without any cheshbonos. The third story is about Rabbi Yisrael Gustman. Now Rabbi Yisrael went through the Holocaust, as you know. He lost his family in front of his eyes, but he was able to run away somehow miraculously to the forest, and there he survived. And the story that we're telling now here, recorded in the old Moshe, I heard it in a slightly different version, is that Rav Gusman Bichvod of Atzmo personally would water the grass. I heard it that he would water certain plants that he had maybe in pots and so forth and so on. So the Talmidim said, I understand that you have to water the plants, otherwise they'll dry in the heat of the sun, but why do you have to do it yourself? It's a Pchis HaKovid. This is not appropriate for Rosh Hashiva to stand there and water his plants. So Rav Gusman said, on one level they're right. Fundamentally, he should not be doing this. But what could he do? He has a Chovas HaKoras HaTov. During the war, how did he survive? He was in the forest and he ate various, again, according to this transmission, it was grass. I think it was mushrooms. That's the way I heard it. And Yeshlo Chovas HaKoras HaTov. Now, wait a second. Perhaps you could say that HaKoras HaTov vis-a-vis an inanimate object would apply to the original grass that he ate, that saved him and sustained him during the war. But what about the desha, you know, the grass that's growing in his backyard, you know, in Rehavia, wherever it might be today? But that's the extent of HaKoras HaTov. We spoke about before, Nekom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Miyam Binjonim. And who are the great Binjonim that we owe to HaKoras HaTov? For that was Yisrael. But somehow it impacts and incorporates the entire nation. Now, when I mentioned mushrooms, the story that I heard is that before the Nazis came to power, and Reb Chaim Ozer was the chief in Vilna, he was the giant of Vilna, and Rav Gusman was a 17-year-old boy, but he was so precocious that Reb Chaim Ozer appointed him as a dayan in Vilna. On one particular occasion, Reb Chaim Ozer told Rav Gusman that he wanted to walk with him in the forest, and they walked together in the forest, and Reb Chaim wasn't talking about anything critical. It seemed to Rav Gusman, to young Rav Yisrael, that he had no clue why Reb Chaim Ozer saw it so urgent to take him for a walk in the forest. And the subject of the discussion between them was about mushrooms, which mushrooms are poisonous, and Reb Chaim Ozer would point to this mushroom and show you don't go near that one, this mushroom you could eat. And it was only years later that Rav Gusman retroactively appreciated what Reb Chaim Ozer was doing was saving his life, because in the forest he was only able to survive on mushrooms, wild mushrooms that grew. And he could have easily committed suicide by eating the wrong mushrooms, but Rav Chaim Ozer had taught him which mushrooms he could eat. The third story, I think we're up to the fourth story, is Rav Yosef Shalom Eliyashiv. And Rav Eliyashiv had to undergo a very serious and rare kind of heart surgery, and they brought over a surgeon, a non-Jewish surgeon from America. And as a result, they saved the life of Rav Eliyashiv. He felt a hakaras hatov to the rofe, and he asked his students, how do you say the word todah in the English language? So the students looked at him and they said, Rebbe, don't worry. You don't have to learn the word todah in English. We will take care of it and we will express our hakaras hatov on your behalf to the rofe. Lo. No, said Rav Eliyashiv. Ki chovas hakaras hatov mechayeves hu biatzmo. He personally has to give hakaras hatov to the rofe. And he brought a proof, because in all chazars hashatz, we rely on the shatz. He represents us. And the old tzibra is yotzi through the recitation of Shmon Esrei, the repetition, except for modim. When it comes to modim, anachnu lach, to express our hakaras hatov, every member of the community has to respond. He cannot rely on the shlichus of the shatz. And chazal mesakin modim derabbanan as a mitzvah of hakaras hatov that is incumbent upon each and every one personally. So there may be shlichus for other mitzvahs, but there's no shlichus for hakaras hatov. And modem has to be personal, and therefore I have to know how to say thanks to this rofe. I cannot allow you to be my shliach and represent me. And those are the first four stories that we have. The fifth story is about Rav Moshe Feinstein, whose Rebbe back in Europe was Rabbi Pinchas Pruskin. And one of the descendants of Rav Pesach was getting married. And when the chassan and kal, together with the mishpacha, after the wedding, opened up the gifts, they saw that there was an envelope with a check from Rav Moshe Feinstein to the sum of $500, which in our day would probably be worth $2,500. This was an amazing amount of money, an exorbitant amount of money. They began to suspect that Rav Moshe must have made a mistake. He really wanted to write 50 and he added an extra zero by mistake and it became 500. So they wanted to return the check to Rav Moshe rather than redeem it in the bank. And Rav Moshe said, Chas v'shalom, how could you say such a thing? Maybe it wasn't enough of a gift. This is an offspring of my Rebbe, Rav Pesach. What hakaras hatov do I owe to my Rebbe? This is not a mistake. On the contrary, adarabba, if I had the possibility, I would give much more. And again, hakaras hatov to the Alta Zeda. And now it's to the Nin v'Neched. That's how far hakaras hatov goes. Another amazing story told in the Ol Moshe about the Mashkiach of Slabodki Yeshiva, Rav Finkel, the Alter of Slabodka. A Chinaman, literally a Chinaman, who was dressed like a Chinaman, in the classic traditional dress of the Chinaman, shows up in Slabodka. It's hard to believe. And the children are making fun of him. They follow him down the streets and they're laughing. They've never seen anything so funny in their life because the Chinaman was dressed so strangely. And all of a sudden, they pass by the Alter Slabodka and he picked up his shteker, his makel, and he started shooing them away. Istalkumikan, get away from here. Aren't you embarrassed to laugh at a Chinaman? Don't you realize that we drink Chinese tea? They had imported tea from China. Today everything is imported from China. They say, Bracious Baruch Lakim, God manufactured everything except the rest is manufactured by the Chinese. In any event, what happens here is that instead of the altar saying to the children, how could you be mevayish, a human being? How, you know, what about kvod ha'adam? Instead, he wanted to teach them something that's even greater and even more fundamental, and that's hakaras hatov. Hakaras hatov to the entire nation of China because of the Chinese tea that they gave us. And if you apply that logic to every single nation, each of which has contributed something, then we have to have hakaras hatov for all the nations of the world. And that's what we saw early in the Ksav Sofer about the Shavuos at the end of Masechet Ksuvos. And finally, the last story about Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer, and this is a story that took place with Rav Shalom Eisen. I knew Rav Shalom Eisen personally. I used to come and ask him my questions, my brother Hananya Shlita, when I settled in Eretz Yisrael during Shivas Yimei Amishta, during my 7 days after the wedding. And a young couple always has questions to ask. I asked my brother, who was here in Eretz Yisrael way before me. He was the trailblazer. I said to him, if I have these shilas, where should I go? He spoke to me about the Vadatz of the Eid HaRedis. They have certain hours where Mora Hora sits there and receives questions from anyone. I said to him, you mean the fellows who wear the striblet with the gold striped begodim? I'm going to, you know, do I need that kind of a chumrah from these Morei Orah? I'm a newlywed. I need some coolers. He said, don't worry. Rely on me. And that's when I came in and I met Rav Shalom Eisen. I don't want to tell you all the coolers he gave me. But in any event, Rav Shalom Eisen lived in Meir Sharm in Batei Natan. I remember it was a really high climb to get to his house. On one of the various occasions that I'd asked him a shaila, he said, if your wife is ever with you in the neighborhood, come up and say hello. When I came up, he looked at me and he was goyer. He was angry at me because he said, your wife is pregnant. Can you allow to climb all those steps? That's not what I had in mind. In any event, the story is told that Rav Shalom Eisen comes to Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer to get a bracha in honor of the bar mitzvah of Rav Shalom Eisen's son. Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer at this stage in his life is very old. Rav Issa Zalman lived to an old age. And he was the greatest Rosh Yeshiva in the Lithuanian Yeshiva movement in Yerushalayim. Everyone wanted a bracha from him. Rav Shalom Eisen came to get a bracha in honor of his son's bar mitzvah. And in a very warm and profound way, Rav Issa Zalman gave a bracha to the son of Rav Shalom Eisen that he would be a gadol B'Torah u'B'Yerushalayim. How surprised was the family of Rav Shalom Eisen when they hosted the bar mitzvah celebration in their home in Batei Natan, and none other than Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, the elderly scholar, giant of the generation, he himself personally takes the climb up to the top floor of Batei Natan to participate in the bar mitzvah of the son of Rav Shalom Eisen. And immediately, I don't know what you want to call them, the disciples or the smart alecks ask Rav Issa Zalman, why did you go to such a tircha gedola to climb the steps and personally participate in this bar mitzvah? And Rav Issa Zalman responded that, you know what? I have a tremendous hakaras hatov to Rav Shalom Eisen. Why? What do you owe Rav Shalom Eisen? And he says the following, I was at Rav Shalom Eisen's bris, and now Rav Shalom Eisen is bringing me his son for a bracha at the occasion of his son's bar mitzvah. How much time has gone by since his bris? And I was in shock. Rav Issa Zalman said, where did that time fly by? Just yesterday, I was at Rav Shalom Eisen's bris, and now he's bar mitzvahing his son. And immediately I felt a hisorus, a hischazkus, in my old age, that every moment of life is precious because life and time just runs. It flows without stopping. It is totally in lack of accrual. And he said, Hazman over b'mehirus hachaim cholfim lahem lelotzu maslev ru'uya im kein olai l'schazek b'yosel l'natzel tayamim kidubay. Says Rav Issa Zalman, on this occasion, when Rav Shalom Eisen invited me to his son's bris, he generated within me a hisorus, a hischazkus, that would take me for the rest of my life to utilize every moment to its maximum because time flies so fast. And Memela, since it was Rav Shalom Eisen who was the one who stimulated these thoughts and these emotions to my mind and my heart. If I owe him a tremendous debt of gratitude of Hakaras HaTov. And the least I can do is be torach myself to come to his simcha and make that effort and participate in the bar mitzvah of his son. Yi ratzon, may we be zocha to this tremendous midah. And it's not only a midah, it's life itself. It defines a mensch. It's the nafsha shel adam of Hakaras HaTov. Never has v'sholom b'kofui tov. And we owe this Hakaras HaTov to the entire world, and certainly if we have Hakaras HaTov to human beings, it's a great preparation and training for us to have Hakaras HaTov to the Ribono Shel Olam, which will lead us to commit ourselves as Ovdei Hashem with a Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim at the most profound level. Yirotza, maybe we zoche to live up to this great calling of Hakaras HaTov. Kein Yiratzon. Amen.